You're listening to The Spirit Hunters, a member of the HyperX Podcast Network. Find out about our pod brethren and how to join our new Discord group and support the show at podcast.hyperx.com and patreon.com/spirithunterpod.
Make room for huge plays with the HyperX Alloy Origin 65 mechanical gaming keyboard and the Pulsefire Haste wireless mouse. The Alloy Origin 65 has a functionally compact form factor, keeping the arrow keys while ditching the numpad and the F keys. The Pulsefire Haste is the lightest wireless mouse from HyperX, featuring a robust connection and the precision you need to click heads. The Alloy Origin 65 and Pulsefire Haste Wireless, a terrific twosome to keep your setup clean and clutter-free.
Season 3, Episode 19 of The Spirit Hunters. This is Patrick.
Joel.
Sarah
works. And last time, we were joined by our special guest, Benel?
Yeah.
All right, Benel. Sorry, I don't know who that is, but shouts out, Benel.
You missed a good episode.
I did. I missed a lot of good things.
He's a pro wrestler and a stand-up comedian, not a joke. Cool guy.
Okay, New Japan pro wrestling superstar, Benel. Anyways, to watch Gon and Killua make some fun animal friends in the forest. Yikes. We also had some math fun calculating how fast Killua and Chitu actually are. This week, it's more fun and games between the Chimera Ants and the Humans. You better get ready. Yeah.
Bringing you guys back to college, because today we got episode 101, Ikalgo and Lightning, a.k.a. Ikarugo to Ikazuchi. Originally released in Japan on October 23rd, 2013, and the equivalent manga chapters are 238 through 242, which were released in Japan on April 18th, 2005. Notice how good that pun works in Japanese and not at all in English.
Rip. I just want to say that Joe has a good point that Killua was going to be schooling some people today, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right. So the episode starts. We see Killua in Ikalgo, they are holding on to the cave pointies. I think the scientific term is it stalagmites? Or
I think stalagmites are from the ceiling, stalactites are on the ground, I think.
I never got this right, so your guess is as good as anyone's.
I like how we have it on the computer. Yeah, stalagmite is from the ground, stalactites is from the ceiling.
No worries. I was trying to think of what those exact differences. Either way, they are hanging on, and it doesn't look good. So meanwhile,
I prefer the
Gon...
term cave nipples. I think that might be a better name for it.
Cave All pimples. Right.
Cave pimples. That works too.
It's like goose pimples, but not.
So meanwhile, Gon is split up. And then Ikalgo, he blasts off as Killua calls him an octopus. And Ikalgo needs to find a new host. And then Killua catches him by his gun arm and holds him over a vat of piranha-like chimera ants. They have like this little meet-cute exchange. And Killua suggests to Ikalgo that he should dive underwater, but realizes that Ikalgo can't. Because of his wounds.
It was, because those piranha-like ants, even though they're his allies, are mindless and will just, like, eat him. It's like the hate fish in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Exactly. They just want to eat. They don't want none of that BS. They don't care. As long as they get that food in their belly, it's like me when I get hangry.
And then Flutter asks Ikalgo a question, but Ikalgo answers out loud accidentally instead of using telepathy. So, which I thought was pretty funny. It seems like he easily gets kind of flustered for a Chimera Ant. And Killua, he cuts Ikalgo a deal. If he tells him everything, then he'll spare his life. You know, that seems pretty fair. And then Ikalgo gives like this very dramatic story of his life, how he remembered a time that he was a normal octopussy idolizing squids, and how
that's my favorite James. The Octopus is my favorite James Bond movie and my favorite thing to, anyways, let's keep going.
I'm going to have to stop us here real quick and just talk about the fact that we have someone getting lowered into like a thing of piranhas. We're talking about Octopussy. It's very much like, no, I expect you to die.
Die, Mr. Killua.
And then, Ikago refuses to spill the beans and he like yeets himself into the water. It's all very dramatic. What I liked about this scene is that it had almost like this shoujo filter on it, like it was all sparkly. I think it helped because Ikago has a very almost cartoony but human face with like the big eyebrows. So I was in my feels, and I guess Kilo was too, because he actually grabs Ikago to save his life, and he does it because, you know, he actually is a pretty cool octopus.
I know you shot me 500 times, and I know that you try to throw me, eat me to this piranha, but you know what? You're kind of cool. I'm going to save you.
Does this feel like a scene that could have been in Bobobo? Because it feels that way to me.
A bit, yeah.
It does.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, though, I think that might be probably the most kind that anyone's been to Killua. That's his friend minus Gon. Probably like more closer to his like actual family than, you know, because like, oh, you tried to murder me and shot me, but we'll be friends anyways.
You know, now the more I think about it, it's not Bobobo, but it's another four kids shonen show. But Ikago reminds me a lot of Ultimate Muscle.
Oh, he does. Like, he actually does. He kind of reminds me of that design.
Just the design and how it emotionally is.
We'll get into what he's a reference to later. The answer might surprise you because it barely works.
Who has the bigger eyebrows? This character or a later character that's introduced in this episode?
Oh, they're going to say or Rock Lee. I was like,
But yeah, who has the more bushier eyebrows?
Readers, write in, tell us.
Yeah, but anyways, I just imagined a cool thing. Imagine Chimera Anarch, but it's in the Ultimate Muscle universe, and they have to wrestle each of the Chimera ants. You know how badass that would be? Just like a wrestling match. Yeah.
Okay, so spoilers, but one day I hope to cover at least some portion of Ultimate Muscle on this show to talk about like the history of like shonen and stuff.
I tried to look it up. I can only find the 4Kids version, so if we did do that, we'd have to do 4Kids version.
Oh, no. We would watch the original.
Oh, you mean Kinnikuman?
Yeah, the original Kinnikuman instead of Shin Kinnikuman.
Okay, yeah, because I tried to find the Japanese version of that, and I could only find the 4Kids version. And while that might be a problem to some, I don't think it's a problem, because actually, I honestly think it's probably, next to Shaman King, one of my favorite 4Kids dubbed shows. Because it was so hard. There's like, I don't think there's really any censorship that really was noticeable, or even that happened. But we're getting off topic. I just thought, I don't know, Sarah brought up Ultimate Muscle, and now I have to watch it again. So thank you very much, Sarah. I'm
no
glad
problem.
I'm going to waste my time watching that now.
It sometimes lives rent-free in my mind, so it's like he's on giving.
Space. Damn, I love that intro. God damn it.
So with Ikago, he just off as like this massive fish tries to bite Killua, pinning Killua to the rock. Killua, he has no issues killing scum, but he knows that this big fish is actually just a distraction for the little fish, who pins a bar double bull pin on Killua. Killua's wounds aren't closing. He actually starts hearing a digital clock inside his head and then turns to see a fish dart pierce his hand and then suddenly his stomach.
I think it's less a clock noise and more like a... it feels very like... Do you remember the Demon Castle fucking Game Master power in Yu Hakusho? Like the... Da-da-da-da? Like it feels like a... Wasn't it like more like an announcement rather than like a clock noise?
Yeah,
I think so. Like one of like a game sound effect.
Basically, like yeah, like shitty like bar darts that have been there forever, but like still play a noise, and so it's like half like fucked up already.
God, I really wish you watched Deep Space Nine, Joe, because there's literally two characters that only play darts, and I still want to make a reference to it, but nobody watches it, so I can't make it. But
hey, guess what? You can make the album art, bro.
Oh, hell yeah. Guess what? Deep Space Nine darts. Hopefully people get it. But if not, well, sucks to be you.
All right. And then back in another room, I'm not sure like where exactly this is.
It's like a bar.
Yeah, it is a bar. Like we see Sir Ortho, he mocks Hila, and he has a score of 108 points. It turns out the fish are created by Nen, that Killua can't see or sense until they actually hit him. And then different parts of Killua's body are associated with different parts of the dartboard. I found this pretty interesting. I guess like the antagonists in question are the Ortho siblings. So there's Sir Ortho. He's like a blonde. He's like a Ken slash fish dude. And then there's the younger sibling. I don't know what her name is. She's never actually named anything in the subtitles. So we're just going to call her Sis. And she creates this Nen pen that links to the target's body to the dartboard. And no one can deactivate the pin until the game is over. And there's no way to avoid the attack because until the dart hits the board, the fish themselves don't exist. So, yeah, they materialize as soon as they hit the board, if that makes sense.
I'm going to say what we're all thinking, and Patrick has pointed this out as well. This is a JoJo-ass power.
Yeah, like this feels like... This was like Togashi's like, you know what? Why don't I make a JoJo reference again in this next show? And it's like, honestly, I think the bar doesn't even exist. It's like, you know, when the power shows up, it's like it just makes the bar like it's like metaphorical sort of thing. I think that's what it really is a metaphorical bar thing, not really actual bar, because the way that they appear later on makes it look like that they're nearby. And I don't think they would make a whole ass bar just to do that power. That'd be kind of dumb, but. We've seen
it's possible
the
they
show.
Materialize the bar.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. So they materialize it to sort of as the power materializes it, I guess.
Makes sense.
Which is weird. But I actually want to point something out is that I was listening to the Ortho brother and his voice sounded oddly familiar. He had a gruff to him and I was like, wait, this isn't him, is it? I looked online and the dub voice actor, no shit, is Little Karibo, who does the Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged series. I was like, no way. And I was super hyped, and it was so, like, I just thought it was insane. Like, man.
I'm being a creepy, incestuous fish man in America.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, my hair, it's like my hair tells me to kill you with these darts. Or no, attention, duelists. Well, that'd be more Greed Island, but I guess still. I mean, if you think about it, he technically is a king of a game.
How the fuck did we not do more attention duelists while we were on Greed Island? God damn it.
Attention duelists. My hair says you must blow up now. Man. Oh, well, next time when we go back and visit again in 20 years, we'll make those references.
Why not?
But yeah, I just thought that was really funny. I don't know who voices the sister, but I didn't look that up. I think it was one of the, you know, the voice actor pool. I just thought it was really interesting. That they got Little Karibo to do that. And I guess he's been in other anime as well. I just thought it came really out of nowhere. And it must have been somebody that, like, actively thought about it. Because I don't think, like, it seemed too well, like, casted. So I think that was something that someone did on purpose that reached out to him to do that.
I think sometimes, too, like, depending on the casting director, it seems like more voice actors are being discovered from either fan creations or through fandoms. So they were probably like, well, why not? Someone's going to get it, the inside joke. So
exactly.
That's pretty fun. And then I think the one thing about this game that is a big risk is that if the brother misses the final shot, then all the damage will be transferred over to the siblings. Yeah.
Oof,
and
yeah. They just blow up. It's like they miss one. Oh, crap. They just blow up.
Yeah, basically.
I guess that's how you can, you know, how you can account for them having like a ridiculously strong power is just like, hey, here's my weird condition.
It sounds like an in condition. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you have the strong power, but also if you fuck up, you die instantaneously. It's like, that's fair.
Yeah. So it fits within the world. It's just like such a weird, inconsequential villain, but let's continue.
Yeah.
So they are not worried. They have the utmost faith in each other. It's the strongest in the world. It's also very Sweet Home Alabama-esque. It's kind of uncomfortable.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so if I say the phrase Folgers incest commercial, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
A little bit. Is that the military one?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like a guy coming back from something. I forget what. And then his sister definitely just sounds way too much like they're banging. It's really weird. And I got the vibe the entire time this was going on. I was like, ugh.
I don't remember that.
It's worse than the manga.
The only Folgers one I remember is that dumb military one they play at Christmas.
I think it might be the one where it's like, hey, bro, or whatever, like when they come back and it's like, I missed you. You're my present this year or some shit like that.
Oh, okay, so it was the military one, probably.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I refer to that as the Folgers incest commercial, but yes.
Man, there's a lot of comments you can make and jokes. I think that's the first time I saw a military joke with that, when it's that, so.
Yeah.
That's a lot of, but yeah, I actually was watching and I was like, oh, geez, I wonder who's hitting that fussy, if you know what I'm saying.
Speaking of which, Megan's next note.
Fussy too strong.
Yeah.
We can leave that one there.
Yeah, let's leave that as it is. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you just gotta, you know, when you don't got any options, you gotta go for that fussy, you know?
That's the plot of a couple H.P. Lovecraft stories.
Is that what Ocean's 11's about?
Oh my god.
It's what? Oh, there's like this, there's a series of games. It's like Dating Cthulhu.
Oh,
like
shit, yeah.
Actual dating sim. Yeah. Basically, it's that.
I think that'd be wouldn't that be Octopussy, though?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, and can you date
there's
the...
also a cat.
I was going to say, can you date the merman from... can you date the merman from The Shadow over Innsmouth, which is like one of the stories by H.P. Lovecraft?
When you said merman, I just thought of Mermaid Man, and I just thought of like a dating sim of the Mermaid Man from SpongeBob.
Oh, either you're going to say you thought of Ben Stiller, in which case I'm like, yeah, I guess dating Ben Stiller, not that weird. He's not that much of a cryptid.
I thought it was the other guy that had the orgy he was married to.
No, I'm referring more to the scene in Zoolander where he's like, water is the essence of moisture.
Oh, that's fair. Man, I need to watch that again. I love that
it's
movie.
It's a good movie. Don't ever watch the sequel.
I thought it was pretty... There's some pretty funny parts. I like the whole... The whole orgy married thing. That was kind of a funny subplot.
Okay. And so on the final turn, Killua seems pretty calm. There's electricity surges coming from his body. He seems to collapse. And so the fish siblings go to check on him. And we actually switch back to Gon and the chameleon man, or what's his name? Meloronin?
Melatonin, I think. I'm just joking.
It's Melioron. Fuck you. Melioron.
Melioron. And they're just chilling. And Gon's like, hey, I'm curious about why you're following me. And Gon is just a very trusting guy. He believed Melioron that he wasn't dangerous. And Melioron actually regrets trusting Gon for a second. But then Gon gets all evil, saying that it would be easier to kill him if he was lying.
I didn't interpret this as evil so much as Gon just becomes amoral, like entirely blank of like morality. He's just like, oh, no, I'd just get rid of you if you were like in my way.
Yeah, that's how that I say like too.
Kill was rubbing off on him and not in the good way.
Gon has always been that kind of like surprisingly... amoral / unhinged without realizing it, and I think it's just his logic that it's not like an evil thing, like if I kill you for lying to me, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's like something we can talk about this later in the saga for sure, but I think that's something that people underrate about like the nature boy archetype. It's just like, yeah, if you spend all your time watching animals, you're watching a bunch of animals just kill each other without like feeling. So like, if you're really gonna base your personality on that, this would be the inevitable outcome.
Why when you said nature boy, I just imagined Gon dressed up as Ric Flair.
Okay, that's but yeah. Yes.
I would pay so much money to see that, but yeah, the one thing I didn't notice about Meloron, I wasn't here for when he was introduced, but he looks like that guy outside of Circle K that asked for a cigarette when you're walking past.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Bums on a cigarette.
Absolutely.
That's just me, though.
I always think it was like a chameleon Shaggy just hanging around.
Blanco, Melarone, and Blanco.
I can see it.
Down.
All right. And then finally, we are back with the Ortho siblings, and they're telepathically communicating with Flutter that their job is done and Killua is dead. Rate that death. JK, it's not Killua's death. It's actually going to be their death because Killua is actually alive and he chops off their heads, but somehow they're still able to hold a normal conversation long enough to then. Yeah, they're like talking heads, basically.
I love that band.
So
letting
the thing
days
about this,
go by.
The thing about this that never works in fiction is that you need your lungs to talk. You don't just need your throat.
I mean, to be fair, they're chimera ants with Nen, so wouldn't put it past me if there's some dumb explanation for it. And they're fish too, so.
No, I guess, yeah, but it's just like, it's always funny to me where it's just like, no, the part that actually generates the power to do this is your like lungs.
You ever watch the first or second Scary Movie where they cut off that girl's head and she just won't shut up and just like throws it in the garbage bin?
Yeah. That does sound, I forget which one that is. Is that one or two?
I forget if it was one or two, but I remember that, and like she just kept talking and it's like, oh geez, you just threw it in a garbage bin.
Is she like talking shit? She's like, oh, I'm so dead. Ha.
Yeah, it's really funny. God, I need to watch that movie again.
Oh, now I'm decapitated.
Yeah, that kind of is the vibe I got. But I guess the one thing I'll say, though, is so no head.
Nice head. I think I'll take it.
That too. But yeah. So what was the explanation? How did they survive? How did Killua survive this utter bullshit of him cheating?
So apparently he used one of Ikago's suction cups to stick the dart to his head by predicting where the final dart would land. And this is based off the rules of the game that Ortho gave, and would go based off of the points needed to win. And so he figured, okay, I guess the highest points will be my head then. And he just caught it at the right exact time. And
it's not the highest points. It's that he figured out like what the circle looked like on his body and could tell how many points his head was worth. And so it's not that you need to get the highest points. You need to get the exact value to count down. And so he's like, oh, wait, this is exactly the amount of points necessary. So like basically like prepared to catch it like right as it went. You guys can't see it, but I'm holding my fingers up to my head as if I'm doing like a head crush thing, but I'm like Tien. So like I'm like doing like that. I'm crushing your head, but I'm looking through my third eye.
He also just did a can crush too. That was kind of badass, Joe.
Yeah, you missed it. I'm over here shotgunning beers constantly.
Exactly. He's pretty badass. I wish I could live with Joe. That'd be fun.
Watch me undo these beer bottles with my eye sockets.
Oh, dude, he just did that. Holy shit. Damn,
oh my God.
Joe. Damn.
Now
Joe,
I'm blind.
Cool as fuck.
Yeah. And I also Killua changes aura into electricity to program his muscles automatically. So he's able to do it without thinking. And he's also fast enough to react based off the face of kind of what we were going for, where he knew exactly where the dart would land to get the exact amount of points that they would need to win. So I'm trying to understand this note right here. The dart was based off his knowledge of professional darts. It would have been like 1440 point game at 6 years old.
Oh yeah. No, like he did a 1440 point countdown game at 6 years old, which is like, my impression is that's insane.
It makes sense though, especially if he has to throw darts or like throw things that would cause death or damage at a far distance. It would make sense for him to have to do this.
I think that's exactly the case, yeah.
Anyways, I think the point is that Killua has confirmed Julian Bashir from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So that's a confirmed thing. That's another, yeah, it's a whole thing. I'm not going to spoil it, but essentially he's genetically engineered and he's awesome at darts, is that all I'll say. Spoilers for like a 30-year-old show on UPN.
Yeah, and I guess like the final thing is like he got Killua, he's trying to flee, but he is starting to bleed out, And then Ikago manages to rescue him. And Ikago decides to help him because after Killua told him that he, an octopus, was a cool guy and that we could have been friends, like, there's no way that Ikago could have let Killua die. You know, it's like, it's a very touching, actually. And that's it.
That's fair. Yeah, that was a fun one, actually. I think it's probably one of my favorite Chimera Ant episodes. Just because, like I said, it's a JoJo-ass fight. And I just think it's a ton of fun. It was at least a fun episode for me.
Yeah, the only thing preventing it from really being a JoJo fight would be, like, there being, like, an intercut just being, like, professional dart players play countdown at this level, and this level. And, you know, people have been known to do such and such, and they have accuracies within this amount of millimeters.
Exactly. And then at the end, instead of him pulling out the dart, they play Jotaro's theme and he beats the shit out of him.
Or like, he beats him at darts and then beats the shit out of his corpse anyways.
Pretty much. Or instead of Kenneth heads, they just explode, like, you know, because they got the... I don't know, they left the Chekhov's gun smoking on that one. I don't know why they didn't do that. Where they should have, like, just, like, got all the damage and exploded. Because they said if they don't do it, then, you know, they explode. But I guess technically... he got around it by doing that, so...
Yeah, because technically it did go into Killua's, like, forehead, but, like, basically, just to emphasize what he didn't stop it from hitting him right in the forehead. He just caught it right as it entered, so it basically just left the tiniest welt.
It's like a skin wound.
Yeah.
Flesh wound.
And to further emphasize how crazy this is, remember... Okay, so the speed of electricity in, like, human nerves is about 50 to 60 meters per second. And it has to go down your, like, body, down through your spinal cord, up through your arm, and to there for him to sense it. But it would have had to have gone there first. So he would have had to basically do the distance of, like, 4 feet twice, or, like, 3 feet twice, so 6 feet. And he short-circuited that by directly connecting, like, the muscles in his hand to his head directly through electricity being shot from his head, like, from his brain directly into his hand.
That's some hacky stuff right there. You should, I just imagine him on, like, a computer programming, and then it's like, okay, for loop, check for dart shape or something.
Basically, and, like, hey, spoilers, this will come back.
It will. And it'll be badass.
And I will also say, spoilers that are much more vague, this turns out to be a way that transmuters use their Nen more often than you would think.
Exactly. All right, should we hop into the manga differences and talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, so in the manga, when Killua knocks the shark thing off him, or alligator, whatever the hell it looks like, in the anime, it shows him, like, long nails extended and cutting it, but in the manga, it just shows him, like, swatting it away or knocking it over, so it's a little bit more unclear what's causing the shark to fall off him. The siblings look a tiny bit different in the manga, versus the anime. At least the sister looks a bit different compared. I mean, the guy looks pretty much one-to-one, but, like, the sister looks a bit different, if you know what I mean.
I think the brother looks balder here.
He actually does kind of look like bald. Yeah, that's a good.
Oh,
point
no, I think
too.
He's supposed to be bald, because I think later she refers to him as having a comb over when they're having their spat.
It does look like a Trump ass haircut that he has, though.
Yeah, it's kind of cracking me up because it's like one little piece in the middle. And I think in the anime, they just gave the siblings both the same head of hair. So, like, they both look like the sister.
Yeah, this guy looks like what if Trump and Mark Zuckerberg had a child and he was disgusting.
Wow, that I don't even want to comment on that. That's another whole level of fuckery that I don't think I can really talk about on the show.
Also, and a fish.
That too. He's got that fussy. Or does he like fish sticks? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, he's out there with Kanye. It's actually, Kanye was involved in this too somehow.
He's the greatest.
In the night of here, na, da, 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 da. Anyways,
yeah. And for some reason, I don't know, this is probably the fact that it's a manga, but the dart match seemed to go a lot faster in the manga versus the anime. But I'm guessing it's just a result of me reading it faster than watching it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I guess that's just me. And then there's this really creepy brain picture of the dart in the manga when he's talking about how he caught it. And it looks a lot closer than it should be. And it kind of is triggering my medical phobia right now.
I kind of want to just like put this photo into a medical textbook, just like sneak it in there and not explain it.
Honestly, it kind of looks like he literally just copied it from a textbook and just added Killua's hair on top of it.
Okay, you know that, is it a meme where, okay, is it fucking Kenan, like Kenan Thompson with like huge eyes reacting to something? Is that a meme? Am I thinking of something?
I think that's pretty much his facial expression sometimes.
Yeah, it looks like that, basically.
He's like, why?
Yeah.
Fair. That's my reaction to seeing that. And then in the chapter outro, or I guess it's the intro of the next chapter when he's like, I'm going to go into the next one. For some reason, he calls, the brother calls her the sister of Bimbo in the manga. I don't know if that's like one of those, you know how like the fan sub and the fan like copy stuff, it's like they put unnecessary curse words and stuff in there.
No, I think that was in the official one too. I have a feeling it's probably a translation of a more like Japanese phrasing of like effectively like a way of describing quote unquote a stupid woman.
That makes sense. I didn't know if that was the thing. Like, you know, I actually was sharing a picture of a, I think I shared it on the page. It was the one where it's like Freeze, all the Dragon Ball Z subs is like, everyone's just like, Freeze, like, fuck you. It's like, oh, go fuck yourself.
Wait, are you sure you're thinking of the one, I think you might have posted the one where like Gohan calls someone an R word, right?
That one, and there's another where Vegeta calls somebody a candy ass F word.
Okay, that's an incredible sub because that's like not even remotely.
I thought it was one of those situations, but
yeah, I don't think it is. But man, if it was,
oh god! All right, well, and then one of the things they switched over is that Meloronin is caught by Gon after the fish sibling fight in the manga versus before the fish sibling fight in the anime. So they play it a bit differently, where Gon catches Meloronin, be like, "Oh, you caught me in this desert," compared to before.
I think this order makes more sense story-wise, but I think they made the decision because they needed to have episode lengths be proper in the anime version. So I get why they made this change for the anime.
Yeah, and it's not really the biggest
yeah, it's not huge
change. So I mean, it just connects it differently. So it's not the end of the world. All right, so I was gonna ask rate those deaths, but I mean, technically nobody really died in this one.
I mean, those two are on their way to death, but I guess we could say that of all people.
The thing is that I don't know. Like, they don't... Yeah. Yeah. Jesus, Joe, you're getting really grim on this one.
Yeah. It's because I had COVID. That's, you know, I've been thinking about death while having, like, the mildest, like, case of COVID imaginable.
Joe's just got a fucking... the Cure cassette in one hand and a fucking a Gothic Bible in the other one.
So I don't have air conditioning, so the whole time I had COVID was just like I had to deal with like heating more than like actual COVID symptoms.
That sounds like garbage, dude.
Yeah, so I've just been under a bunch of fans, and I put like a towel that was like covered in water and was using evaporative cooling to keep myself cool while I had like COVID. And I was just like, man, if I die like this is going to be real weird. But like all I really had was just I was tired for 2 days. Like I just slept for two fucking days.
Did you like look at one of those anime characters where it's like they're breathing heavily, they're sick with the towel over their head?
Kind of, yeah. Except like I then found that I was able to do better evaporative cooling by laying it across like my body. And then I was just like, man, if I die this way, this is going to be the most Joe-ass way to have found my dead body. It's just like he was trying to use evaporative cooling.
It's like Joe went out the way he lived as an anime character through and through.
No, there have definitely been times where I have used knowledge of stupid like old science in ways that are vastly inappropriate that I will not talk about here.
Man, I kind of want to see a TV show with Joe as a dad. We'll just put a towel around his body. It'll totally work.
It's like, well, it did work, but also, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Honestly, I kind of wanted, like, yeah, my dad was weird. He put a towel around my body with water to cool me down. It's kind of weird, but it worked, weirdly enough.
Oh, there was one time where, back in Arizona, my air conditioner broke, and, like, I had to stay in the apartment that night before a portable air conditioner was brought. And so I was initially splashing myself with a lot of water and using that to cool myself, and then I'm like, this isn't working. Then I'm like, what has a lower boiling point and a lower vapor point than water? rubbing alcohol, and so I just started putting rubbing alcohol like on my pants.
Oh no!
It worked, but it was also like, never do this again.
Joe, did you? It's like, Joe, did you literally piss alcohol or something? Jesus Christ!
Yeah. Yeah. Adventures in science, baby.
Hey, yeah. Honestly, if I ever get sick, Joe's the one I want taking care of me. He seems to know the routines.
No, I'm more like, hey, if you need someone with like a basic knowledge of very primitive science to use on a desert island, yes, me. Otherwise, no.
I'm bringing Joe with me on the desert island if I ever get caught. He's gonna fucking, he'll get us home in no time.
Lol. But yeah, right. If we don't have those deaths, then I guess there would be a HyperX ad read here, but the ad read we have is about Prime Day, which already happened. So, hey, hope you guys enjoyed Prime Day. I didn't.
I got like 20 cassettes.
Like cassettes on Amazon?
Yeah, like little audio cassettes.
Oh, they had like, blank cassettes.
They had blank cassettes
cool.
on Amazon. And I bought them. So yeah, shouts out Prime Day. If you guys need cassettes for recording on your Walkmans, because I totally know that's a regular occurrence.
Yo.
So, you know, if you got one of these things,
Patrick,
you know.
But I just thought of something. If we ever get big enough, we should do a Martin Shkreli ass. We're going to make one copy of this album, put it on a cassette, and auction it off.
I'm honestly planning on doing that for sure, where we record our PRGE panel and we put it on cassette and then we give it away to give like a like 20 copies away to our Patreon fans as a thank you for doing that.
I'm actually kind of down for this idea.
I'd be down for that for like panel, just like bring a whole ass recording, put it on cassette and be like, yo, welcome to our panel. It's on cassette. If you're cool, listen on cassette. If you're not, you're not.
I'm super down for this stupid idea and we'll talk more about it later. But anyways, and now a word from our compatriots and benefactors.
Hi, it's me, Jeremy Parrish, co-host of the Retronauts podcast, the only video game history podcast that's been around so long, it's also a part of video game history. Every week, one of the motley rabble who hosts this show leads a deep dive into the past, whether it's to break down a classic franchise, learn more about a timeless game from its creator, or just wallow in nostalgia. Relive history with Retronauts, here on the HyperX Podcast Network.
SequelCast 2 and Friends looks at movies and video games and franchises one movie and game at a time. Hosted by Matt Bradley Schurge, Thrasher, and Alex Miller, been going since 2009, and we're part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
Don't drink the Gatorade by my desk.
Do you guys know the No Doubt song Trapped in a Box?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm about to do an impression. Tommy, I don't know, put this in somewhere in the episode, but it goes like, trapped in a box. And like, that's it's like the chorus.
Oh, that's what's the name? Gwen Stefani's in the band? No Doubt.
Yeah, No Doubt. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love No Doubt.
No, but when you said piss in a jar, piss that was like my first thing. Piss in a jar.
I thought you were just singing Man in the Box by Alice in Chains.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Oh, who? I don't want to drink that Gatorade. Who? It might be filled with my piss and something else. So if you want to be my friend, I would suggest you don't drink the Gatorade on my desk.
All right. Anyways, I'm
welcome
ready to
back
continue
to the show, guys. Hopefully, Tommy, leave that in. I think that might be a great cutback from commercial, and I imagine our sponsor would love that. So thank you, HyperX Network.
Hey, thank you, Nalgene Bottles.
Yeah, don't drink the Gatorade near my desk. Single coming soon to cassette, vinyl, single,
A-track,
LimeWire. Tin gramophone, wax cylinders. Whatever you want it on, we'll get it for you, and we'll put it on there for you. Oh, wire recording too. I can't forget about that.
I don't even know about wire recording.
That's where that term, you know, it's by wire. That's where that comes from. They actually recorded to a actual wire. It's actually how they got the only recording of Adolf Hitler's normal speaking voice is by wire.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up.
I've been watching too much Tech Moan, so I've been into that retro tech recently. So I'm sorry about that.
I'm curious how this is recorded, because like generally a recording mechanism needs a way of like being altered, and I'm wondering if it's like wire capacitances change, but I'm gonna look this in up in my spare time. Sarah, take it away.
I'll send a link on for the video I watched on it. So yeah.
All right. So we are gonna cover episode 102, Power and Games, or Noryoku to Taikyoku. Sorry, I've just butchered that. Anyway, it was released in Japan on October 30th, 2013.
Spooky.
Very spooky. Almost spooky. It's one day away from
it's
spooky
one day away
day.
From spooky, but,
hey,
but if you think
about it...
The
month of October is spooky to me.
Hey, to be fair, though, I think every day of the week is spooky because we all have a skeleton inside of us.
That's true.
It's always spooky.
And the equivalent manga chapters are 242 through 244, and those were released in Japan on May 30th, 2005.
So an interesting note about this episode, the title Power and Games with the Noryoku part, Noryoku means something more like power, but in the sense, like the second definition, like ability. So it's more like ability in games. So that's kind of like an interesting, I won't say it's a mistranslation, but I'll say that it's like maybe ability in games or abilities in games would have been better, or powers in games. But yeah, you get the idea.
Kono power in games.
Exactly. But Melioron explains that invisibility is just the beginning of his power, God's alibi, perfect plan, allows no one to know of his existence. Like the person
That's an anime-ass name ability.
It really is. Like a person a waiter forgets to bring water for, it's the most extreme version of that. So it's basically the inherent ability of Kel Mitchell's character from Mystery Men. Have you guys seen that?
Oh man, I love that. I love that movie. We watched it together, remember?
I'm aware. I was trying to elucidate you being like, yes, remember when we watched it together, my friend?
Yeah, when we held hands and then we shared candy. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we both closed our eyes when Kel Mitchell used his powers, because remember, his powers only work if no one, even himself, isn't looking.
Exactly, exactly.
But the reason I bring it up is the big joke in that movie is that no one gives a shit about what he's doing ever. Like, at that point, he is at his parents' place, and he has, like, these, you know, three fully grown men there. And he's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to my room with three strange fully grown men. And the dad just doesn't react. And so, like, yeah, he basically has this power.
That makes sense. Imagine if that's totally what his power was, Melioron. And God's alibi literally is just nobody gives a shit about him and everybody he associates with. So they just don't ever see him. It's not even a power. He's just like less than a foot soldier. It's just like, that's how it works.
In the case of Kel, it was actually supposed to be like a big joke. It was just like, hey, he can literally turn invisible, but more importantly, no one gives a shit.
Fair.
But yeah, so Melioron is blown away by how fast Gon is willing to partner up with him, but is okay with it, saying that time is no measure of trust. He mentions like, yeah, there are people who have known you forever who can still betray you. So Melioron lays out his grand goal. He wants to kill the king in revenge for the death of Peggy. At the time, Melioron didn't think anything of it, but as his human childhood memories have returned, he's had the tragic realization that Peggy was a reincarnation of his human foster father.
Sorry, I saw Child Who when I imagined, because Peggy's birth Child Who memories.
Aww.
God damn it. Yeah,
oh my gosh.
It's like really sad that he's like, oh shit, that was my dad.
Daddy wasn't there.
Honestly, I love Peggy as a character. I think I even mentioned at the time that I was sad that he was gone, because he was like clearly more responsible and more like forward thinking than a lot of the other ants.
I like them a lot, and it's definitely not because he's the same voice of what's his name? Liquid Snake from Metal Gear Solid. Totally.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that fact. Like, brother, maybe we could do something better with our abilities. Like, look at these books, brother.
And it's like he turns around just to Goro. It's like, can I get some orange juice, Dad?
Yeah, no, we need to just make a fan animation where it's just all the anime characters who refer to each other as brother, and then it just ends with Hulk Hogan doing like a public service announcement about Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood back in theaters this March. Anyways. So
it's really hard not to make fun of that, Joe, but I'm just gonna let you have it.
After hearing this, Gon confidently Now I'm just thinking of fucking Hulk Hogan, but with Brotherhood. And like my first thought was like, oh yeah, he was in the last three Ninjas movie.
Yeah, in all honesty, it probably would make Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood a better show altogether if they did that. But you know,
wow, you can fuck off right to Magic Mountain or whatever, the Thunder Mountain, whatever the fuck the name of that thing in the Hulk Hogan Three Ninjas movie was. After hearing this, Gon confidently declares that the reason he knew he could trust Melioran was, quote unquote, "You're very human. In fact, I'd say you're still human." Melioran responds by pointing out that he can trust Gon specifically because he's not like him. "I could sense a vicious beast inside you. There's no limit to what you'd do." Honestly, the first time I read this, like, I loved it. Just this idea of just like, you know, basically like Melioran turning around and being like, "Oh no, you're a nightmare. That's why I have faith in you."
I find that very interesting because it's like two different points of how they like decide to relate to each other. And Gon is like, "Oh, you're human because you love, and therefore I trust you." And Melioran is like, "You're scary because there's something very disturbing about you. That's not going to trust you because I think you're going to be powerful."
So well, I don't think it's just because he's going to be powerful. I think it's because he's like, "No, Gon, you're single-minded about this. You won't let your emotions get in the way. You will just kill." And so he's like trusting Gon as if he was like an act of nature. He's like, "Oh, the weather says 100% chance of like torrential rains that will like flood and kill everyone. I'm betting on that."
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, and like this kind of goes with the theme of, you know, the ending theme that's playing right now, Hyori Itai, which we will definitely do an episode where we talk more about that, but it means like two sides of a coin. And so like, hey, these two are showing the initial duality that like the rest of this saga is about.
Fair. Man, I don't want to spoil that song because there's actually a cool thing about that song I want to talk about, but I don't think I'm going to spoil it because it will spoil some other thing in the show.
Oh yeah, near the end of the saga, we need to talk about that song though. I honestly think that is like one of the best tied-in songs to any anime ever.
I kind of want to get a tattoo of that credit scene too, just the Chimera Ants going down. I kind of want to get that like down my arm or down my back.
Oh yeah, that one's pretty sick. I'd also say there's a really good AMV that's like sort of like a remake of it, but it's like using the end of Naruto, which I don't love Naruto, but it's actually done really well and you should check it out sometime.
I don't think anybody loves Naruto.
No, there's a lot of people who love Naruto. What you've said is inherently false. But anyways.
Least, I mean the anime at least.
Yeah, I would say that a lot of people who like the manga dislike certain things about the anime for sure.
Yeah.
But safe in their bond as two sides of the same coin, Melioran demonstrates his ultimate power, God's Accomplice, which extends the effects of Perfect Plan to another person that he holds onto. With this power, they poke a bird a bunch of times with it being none the wiser. I just love that they're just like, "Hey, check out what this, I do this fucking bird." And then he's just like poking in the face. He's like, "You like that? You like that? Check that.
Check this out, Beavis. I'm going to poke this bird in the face."
God damn it. I can't wait till the later part of this where, you know, Cornholio shows up. But anyways, yeah, that's actually Gon's secret power and how this season ends.
In all honesty, I just realized something, that Maronin kind of looks like Beavis a bit.
Oh, fuck, he kind of does. I can't wait for us to talk about Settle Down Beavis later in the saga, but... Melioran explains how he wants to use this power to sneak up on the king and Jajankan him while his Nen is entirely down, perhaps in Zetsu. Gon tells Melioran he knows someone he thinks Melioran's power will work even better with and wants to introduce them. Melioran then disagrees with this plan and explains how the true power of his power derives from it being unknown to its potential victims, and furthermore, that just because Melioran trusts Gon doesn't mean he trusts his judgment of character, and thus will have to meet said buff econ professor on his own and make the call.
Oh.
Man, hopefully he learns a lot.
Yeah, imagine if you could make loans to people surreptitiously without them knowing. That's actually kind of the plot of Great Expectations now that I think about it.
I think that's the plot to real life with student loans, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, student loans are deceptive, but you do know about them. This is more like, what if you snuck a dude a $100 bill when he was a child and then came to collect it like years later and was like, "It's me, your anonymous loan benefactor, Pip. What's up?"
Also, you have this angel thing that if you don't pay back, it will destroy you.
Chikandes!
Exactly. Imagine just having to go through life, you just try to beat it up, get it out of my head.
Yeah, Great Expectations would be a very different book if Pip was just running around with like a little plush that flew around.
I'd fucking 100% watch that.
I kind of want to reread that book because, like, honestly, as a kid, I was just like, oh, this is like a bizarrely light, like, it felt like only a lightly fantastical version of real life. But the more I look back on it, I'm like, no, this is like insanely fantastical. Like the fact that he has like a fucking pirate, like, you know, secret benefactor who dies in a fucking fist fight on a steamboat, like by getting crushed by one of the water wheels is insane to me.
Just watch the South Park episode. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So anyways, Gon calls up the man of the hour, Knuckle, who informs him of the new situation where Morel has used his power to stop the selection at the Capitol by defeating the remote-controlled puppets.
I just realized something. Great Expectation and Knuckles.
God damn it.
Sorry, that's the last I'll say of it.
No, it's either Great Expectations and Knuckles or The Great Gatsby and Knuckles, both of which I'm down for.
What about Pride and Prejudice and Knuckles?
Okay, that one works too well. You're going to need
There's
to stop.
There's an image of that. I'll stop.
Okay, no, Pride and Prejudice CD. Anyways, so meanwhile, back at the palace, the king is beating champions at a series of traditional board games, including chess, shogi, and go. The king describes his overall strategy as interrupting the inherent rhythm of your opponent. Poof describes this as a psychological principle that would fit any competition, really. A quick note about this. This is commonly seen as a way of beating people in striking martial arts, and like is... If you look at the way people used to talk about boxing as like the sweet science, it's all about understanding your opponent's rhythm and breaking their rhythm and attacking them at the points in between their rhythm. And so it's interesting that like the king has basically taken this idea that he clearly gets from combat and has put it into intellectual combat and strategic combat as if he like understands everything by way of the extension of the fist into the rest of his life.
Lots of fisting.
Yeah, God, I should have predicted your rhythm, known that was coming, and prevented it somehow. Also, I should have known you were coming and prevented it somehow. Anyways, episode
Such
ends.
Joke.
Yes, episode ends with multiple time world champion of the local traditional game Gungi being introduced as a blind, uneducated peasant girl named Komugi.
I like how she literally has she has that in her name.
Yeah.
No, she has the Ogi in her name. I think that's kind of weird. It's like she was born for this, quite
Wait,
literally.
What do you mean she has Ogi in her name?
Her name's Komugi, right?
It's Komugi and Gungi. Komugi. I mean, yeah, Gungi and Komugi yeah. are.
It sounds very similar. It sounds like she was born for it.
It just occurred to me. I'm wondering what Mugi is because Ko often just means child and is used in female names. So I'm wondering if Mugi has a meaning.
In Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Moogie's name of Quark's mother.
Yeah, we'll probably do a piece on Komugi in the future. I have a copy of The 1001 Arabian Nights I need to read because it plays in.
Is that kind of like Aladdin? Or?
If I remember correctly, Aladdin is a part of it, but was added later and was not in the original story.
I just wanted an excuse to sing Arabian Nights or shout it really loud.
No, you should. Yo, we should definitely read the 1001 Arabian Nights at some point. It is one of the most subtly influential stories on like the Western world that people don't realize because like the way that it influenced the world is very weird. It basically got everyone to want to go to the Middle East. Yeah. Speaking of another great book, the manga. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry. So, the manga. So, for some reason, Melorun looks way more Gekko-y in the manga versus the anime. I don't know, maybe that's a, like, I don't know, like, he looked very more Gekko-y, kind of like was it Rango? Is that the movie?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
This picture that you posted also kind of looks like he's starting to, like, blow smoke rings in the shape of a Google Doodle.
Exactly. that's gonna be the next Google Doodle. I think whoever works at Google that's listening should do that.
Weird.
Yeah, so go make that doodle, please, because that'd be funny. The next one is a fucking amazing piece of art by Togashi of the chairman, and holy crap, this is like peak Togashi artwork right here. Look at this.
I want to know the origins of this, like, visual meme of, like, the idea of, like, a sage meditating on like a rock precipice, because it definitely, I'm assuming it has origins in Buddhism and therefore possibly earlier Hinduism, but I'd be curious to look it up.
We should really look that up and circle back during another scene with him.
Oh yeah, that also heavily involves Buddhism.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. And the manga they also use this cool GPS phone device. And then in the anime, they just pretty much said, you know, fuck it, just talk it verbally.
This device kind of looks like, what if I was playing Picross?
It kind of does. It looks like Picross, or it looks like actually a PS1 like anime overhead map.
I could see that.
So then, and the next note is walking into Joe's house. Be like, so there's a bunch of like books and videotapes in a corner with a CRT. There's people sitting on the floor with little games, a little table. There's some random objects in here for no reason, and then there's a dead body, and that's kind of what it's like to walk into Joe's house if you ever visit
him. The weirdest part is when I'm like, juice!
Exactly, and you rip off some guy's arm. That's why I stopped visiting him. It got kind of weird. We had to lock him in the attic.
Hey, have you guys seen any mail for Willie Nelson?
Just for the name yourself Willie Nelson, yeah.
Yeah, it was a choice when I did that.
Yeah, it was a choice.
I was a highwayman.
Exactly. Man, I need to listen to them again. It's actually just picked up a Hank Williams tape. I mean, he wasn't a highwayman because he was dead by then. So RIP Hank Williams Sr. Never got out of this world alive. But anyways, that's kind of what it's like to walk into Joe's house. I mean, minus the dead body, or plus the dead body. I don't know if he's been killing people since I last visited him. So, but yeah, like I said, if you guys want to visit Joe, his house kind of looks like the panel that I'll make a dumb tweet about. But like, yo, Joe's house be like, and then you guys will know what I mean. Just look back 2 weeks ago after this was released.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm trying to think. People did die in this one. So we
I was
going to
say all those deaths. Like all those game champions died.
Yeah, there's a lot of deaths. I forgot about that. So yeah, I mean, there was only one that we saw visually, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so that one guy, he sucked and he got his head swatted off. They kind of censored it a little bit too much, so you didn't really get to see much. But in the manga, you can obviously see what happened. But
I was going to say, in the manga, his glasses and his eyeball are on the ground.
Hey, happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, what'd you guys think? Did you think it was kind of an okay death? Did you think it was a bad death? What are your thoughts? What do you say? What do you hear?
I guess when he first starts playing these games, you're kind of like, why are you doing this? I mean, I guess it's to like learn, but like it doesn't, like, I think in retrospect, this is like a 6 out of 10 in terms of like what it means. But in terms of like at this moment, it's like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, I don't know why he's like, I don't know. It's like, I want to play darts. I want to play games and be the strongest. I want to play darts. He wants to beat the dart twins. But yeah, it's just kind of weird that he goes about this. It's like, what's the point? Like, I guess.
There's also this point where he like brings in like the global champion of this game where you put a bunch of cash on your hand and then have to stab into the cash.
Is that before or after he puts the lighter on their hands with a gun and that restaurant?
You know, that's a fair point. Also, I believe that he went to Egypt and got some trinkets that he had to assemble, like a model kit of some sort.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really a big fan of, hopefully this has come off as racist, but I actually do not like Egyptian gunpla. I don't know, like, I just don't really like it. It's just not for me. It takes almost a millennium to figure out that puzzle.
God damn it.
But anyways, the death was pretty melodramatic. I still don't know why he's learning. Probably a 2 out of 10 for me. Just because it's like, okay, it seems like an excuse to go into this arc with a, what's her name? Big eyebrows, snart, dripping girl.
I think it makes sense in the idea of he's trying to show that like he exceeds humanity at the things that humanity thinks it's best at, like that define it. And he's like, actually, I'm way better at those things that you think you're good at.
So he just wants to have a giant flex before he enslaves humanity.
I don't think it's just that he wants to have the flex. I also think he wants to prove it to himself that he's better at it.
I guess that makes sense. Like I said, he's an interesting character for sure. And I'm trying to think if the third, like, it's interesting. This is the third time I'm watching this, so it makes me wonder how I'm going to feel about it for a third go and see how his character is. But overall, I kind of like it. I just kind of like how each time it builds up the character, and I like starting from scratch on him and seeing and really analyzing how I feel.
Mm. Sarah, what do you think of this death and also like what it portends? Like this idea, like why is he wanting to become the king of games?
I think in this moment, I guess I feel like it almost didn't really register to me, like when I was watching the episodes. And then I guess in like looking in the manga, I guess I would probably give it like a 4. I don't know. I think maybe right now it's like in the forefront of things. I'm more focused on the other ants versus the king. So I'm like, I guess I had to see later on what it could possibly mean in the long run. Right now it just seems kind of like a quirky thing that the king is doing, but I don't really know what the context is. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
For sure. I guess like combine this with what was previously discussed in the set of episodes where Melioran is basically trying to find someone strong enough to kill the king so he can hide him on his way to doing it. And like, to me, that seems like the beginning of like an idea of strategy trying to defeat the king, that combined with the same vein of like the games coming up at the same time. It's kind of like, oh, we've set up a chessboard of sorts.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. I feel like it's actually this whole past episodes have been very interesting in the sense that games have been essentially like the running theme. And I know like strategy has always been a big part of like Hunter x Hunter in terms of the battles, but also conflict in general. But it's just, it's fun to see it being done so explicitly through the form of games. So I think it's pretty interesting. It almost is also a little bit like, the gravity of the situation. Basically, it's like impending genocide. And the one way that we're able to kind of not make it lighter, but the way that it's being approached as if this is like a series of games, is kind of like morbidly ironic in a sense.
For sure, but I think it's also like, it's both ironic in the sense that it kind of contrasts, but I also think it actually complements in a certain way, because if you remember, each of those games is actually based off military exercises.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Shogi and chess are originally based off an ancient form of chess from India that was about two competing kingdoms. And in the case of Go, the literal translation of the original Chinese title Wei Qi means encircling game. And it's about basically surrounding your opponent's forces with your forces.
Yeah, I also forgot to mention, they actually released a shogi like game board that you could buy and play. Gungi, yeah. Sorry, why did I say shogi?
Is that official? I thought...
That is official, yeah.
I thought that the one that you could play and then the one they release are two different things.
They released the Gungi board. I don't know if you could... I don't know the rules if you could actually play it one-to-one.
Yeah, like, but basically, I think the rules that were released are by someone else. But, like, yeah, you can get that official board Patrick's referring to and then play with the unofficial rules.
It's kind of sick. Like, I saw it, I was like, dang, I really want this. But then, like, they sold it, like, as in, like, you get, like, this, the game board or, like, the pedestal that it sits on. And I'm going to say this right now, that you probably just want to get the game board, because I think the pedestal, even with shipping, especially with shipping in Japan, will become very costly. Like, I think above $500 for it. So unless you really, really like Hunter x Hunter, I probably would not recommend getting it. But it's
honestly
cool as hell.
Hey, I'm going to make an announcement. Anyone who's listening who runs an Etsy store and does fine wood crafting, you could probably make a fuck ton of money making your own Gungi boards that you sell.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually have that for sale on there.
That'd be pretty sick. Another thing I'd mention about the game real quick. They mention when Poof is introducing it to Meruem, he says, like, one thing that differentiates this from Shogi and chess and Go is that the pieces can be stacked. I'm curious to look into what the stackedness means, because, like, I honestly don't remember it super well. I'm wondering if it's, like, a metaphor of, like, hey, someone can have multiple identities in their life because, you know, they're different roles on top of each other, or if it's people working together. I was thinking
more of like, it's like maybe like a promotion thing, like getting promoted and you having people on top of you or something.
See, that's the thing I forget is how it materializes the relationship here. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is part of the metaphor that I missed the first time I read it. So I'm very curious as we go through, because like this game is never fully explained. They never fully give all the rules. But if we get some glimpse of like what the idea of like stacking means in the context of this, we'll probably have something to do with like the metaphorical meaning of this saga.
Still cool as shit, though. I kind of want to really... Like I said, it kind of makes me wonder if I should drop that 500, get a board, then we'll have Goongi matches and see who's the better Goongi player out of the hunters, and we'll, or like spirit hunters, and then we'll like, I don't know, fight to the death or something. I don't know.
Let's have a Goongi invitational tournament in Arizona.
Exactly. I imagine it'll go over very well.
Yeah. There's a man who just shows up. He's like a weird, like, bug man.
And then, and like we have like, yeah. And then like they have, we have another like girl that's like a, like has snot, big eyebrows and blind, and just like they get a relationship and then they blow up half of Arizona for some reason.
She was crazier than him. And what the fuck is that meme? Like, and God help anyone who insults yeah. his queen or some shit.
I was thinking, I was like, he was a punk and she did ballet sort of thing.
That works too. Know.
There's some skater boy vibes there, but yeah. I don't know.
Could it be any more obvious?
Shut up.
So real quick, before we go out, I want to mention I did like a little bit of research. And by that, I mean, I just fucking looked at the Hunter Hunter wiki this time as to the origin of Ikalgo's name. Generally, it's regarded as a combination of Ika, meaning squid, and Golgo 13.
I didn't even friggin' think of that. Oh,
neither
my
did
God.
I, dude. Neither
oh
did
my
I.
God. I didn't even put that together. Holy crap.
Because he's a sniper. So Golgo 13 is a hitman who's like from fucking ancient seinen manga. And he also had a video
popular.
Game on the NES. Yeah.
Yeah. It was released as Top Secret Mission in the United States. It's pretty yeah. fun, actually. I played that game before. It's actually pretty bomb.
So
actually, I think I have a copy of that too, boxed.
This character who is sort of like half a joke, but also like a very like wholehearted, you know, character that's very wholesome. He's based off like a deadly emotionless sniper from during the Cold War.
Yeah, it's pretty good though. I definitely recommend if anybody has ever read the manga or watched the Google, they should definitely read or watch the Ikalgo 13.
Yeah, sorry, Ikalgo 13.
Golgo 13 anime or movie manga or movie series. There's
Ikalgo
not like an official
at yahoo.com.
Yeah, that's my name. But yeah, it's actually a really, really great series. And I really think that, honestly, he pretty much puts James Bond to shame in some aspects in terms of coldness.
Yeah, so last of all, Ikalgo is the only Chimera Ant to be confirmed to possess distinct memories of both his animal and human like lives.
When that isn't that the I'm pretty Meloronin does too. Or do you mean like vivid, like lucid?
Yeah, I don't think Meliorna has any memories of his animal life. He just has memories of his human life.
Oh, okay. Oh, both of them. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, sorry, I was a bit confused. You mean like the combined memories, like them put together? Okay.
Yeah, like he remember, like Ikalgo has talked about being a squid, and I think he also talks about being a human too.
Okay, I thought you meant him being a chimera ant and being a human. Sorry.
No, a squid and a human.
That makes sense.
I guess he was an octopus, but yeah, no, he has memories of being both a human, both a kid and a squid. You know, he formerly of Splatoon. You know. Talks about fighting the Octolings. It's crazy.
Honestly, that'd be really funny if it just shot like the inkling ink out of the sniper.
Yo, if he was released as a DLC character in Splatoon 3, that'd be great.
I'd play it. Well, I mean, I already play Splatoon. I love Splatoon. It's one of my favorite. Honestly, I think it's probably my favorite Switch games.
I never really got into it.
It's really good, especially if you grew up with like the Unreal Tournament and Quake stuff and the first and like the competitive shooters on PC. I think people would really love it. So
nice. Yeah, I guess before we head out of this episode, do you guys have any thoughts just about the general episodes? And because I really like these, and I've already kind of splattered the airways with my thoughts, but I'm curious what you guys think.
Did you want to go first, Sarah?
Sure. I think I've covered what I liked a lot of these episodes. I think thematically they've been really interesting, especially with the use of games. And how they've been incorporated into the different battles, and then also the introduction of is it Goongi, is how it's pronounced?
Yeah, it's Gungi. Yeah, we'll talk about the origin of the name. I don't think they've ever said the actual characters, but I'm pretty sure it's military game might be it. Mm-hmm. But I did the research on this. I don't remember off the top of my head, so I'm sorry if I've said this wrong. I swear to God, I'll come with the research another time, guys.
I don't want you to come with the research, please. Just get research.
All right.
Yeah. I'll arrive with the research. I really like them. I liked it so far. I also like the characters that were introduced. Like we knew about Meliron a while ago, but it's nice to see more of his personality. And then I really liked Ikago. I thought he was great. It's just like, I don't know if he's like a one-off or not, but I'm glad that he's a good contrast to Killua. In terms of just like, you know, being some of that. I didn't take seriously at all, just based off his character design, and it seems like he was like a running gag.
Glad you haven't read more, because I'm just so glad that you don't know.
Honestly, I'm thinking about it, and I'm just thinking, it's like, wait, does that mean that technically, like, both Gun and Killua have a Digimon now?
I guess you could put it that way, but it's more like, oh, both of them have befriended, you know, someone of the enemy species, and they've like learned that they're more complicated than they think.
Exactly. They walked a mile in their shoes, and now racism has ended.
I'm very curious when we get to the end of this saga, what you're going to say about that exact phrase.
Oh, racism, man, is officially over, guys.
That's why I like these episodes a lot. They were pretty fun. It was actually kind of a nice break from the last few, because the last few just felt stressful. And this was a little bit stressful, but not as much. I think it was more on the fun side of things.
Yeah, it's been all around a stress fest with this entire arc, to be honest.
In certain ways, this feels like the most like the show that you kind of expect from the intro to the beginning of the show, where they're talking about like strange beasts and blah, blah, blah.
Where to find them?
Yeah, strange reason where to find them. Fuck you. But yeah, it actually does feel like that intro kind of promised a million years ago.
Yeah, strange beasts and where to... I don't know where I was going with that. Basically, J.K. Rowling's a piece of shit. Sorry about that. I was trying to figure out a way to segue that in.
All right. You did it.
Congratulations, guys. We solved J.K. Rowling.
Omerito.
Yep, that's it.
Do you have a wire recording of J.K. Rowling?
Yeah, it's basically her being like, yeah, I hate... Harry Potter was cool. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. There's a joke there. I'm bad. Ignore me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Spirit Hunters. Please hit us up with questions, requests, or just to chat at our Facebook or Twitter at Spirit Hunter Pod. Heads up, check out our HyperX homies at podcast.hyperx.com and check us out at patreon.com/spirithunterpod. I have a note here about joining our patron-only Discord. I've talked for like the last three episodes, but I think we're going to maybe change the structure of this. No promises, but I'm looking into whether or not we can just make that free and do other stuff for patrons. There's probably more constructive ways to be using this, and honestly, we'd like to have more people in there just like talking together, and it's nice getting to hang out with everyone, and we'd like to make that a possibility for you and me, baby.
For you and me. I forgot. I was thinking, for some reason, I thought of that Dexter song, Remember Dexter did that song with that guy?
The musical episode?
Yeah. Sorry, what?
No. I'm trying to remember what the fuck the song from the musical episode was like. It was like, when you take the math, you know, next to Dora, mi fa, so, you can da-na-na-na-na.
The point is that same guy actually did that song Touch by Daft Punk. So that was kind of cool.
Wait, really?
I'm not joking, yeah. That's one of my favorite Daft Punk songs, Touch, actually has him in it. He has a touch. I remember touch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's...
Anyways, shouts out Daft Punk. Shouts out whoever the fuck that was.
I get that confused with that Gorillaz song where they paid a guy to yell until he passed out. But anyways, I don't remember the name of it. It was a long time ago. Speaking of the Discord, blah, blah, blah. If you don't know the funds, you can help us by giving us a written review on Apple. Yeah, anyways. We're also on Spotify. Send us the link, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, finally, today's intro and outro themes were made by Rifty Beats and Lightest Daylion, respectively. Check them both out on YouTube. Respect. Also, big shouts out to our editor, Tommy. Thanks to him, the rest of the crew can focus more on doing research and talking to Gashi. And if it weren't for him, we would have fallen apart long ago.
Love you,
Tommy.
See
you guys on the other side.
Later.
Bye.